Hello and welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich, the podcast that celebrates conversation with creative, dynamic individuals from the worlds of art, science, spirituality, history, and more. Today, I welcome a longtime friend. We've done many radio shows together over the years. His name is Hal Urban, an award-winning teacher at San Carlos and Woodside High Schools for many years, also at the University of San Francisco. Since 1982, Dr. Urban has been dedicated to the character education movement. He's spoken thousands of times in just about every state and has made more than 30 international presentations. He gives keynote addresses, conducts workshops with educators, and talks to students of all ages about good character, positive words, and good news. You can find out more at halurban.com. And speaking of good news, that's what his latest book is all about, The Power of Good News, Feeding Your Mind with What's Good for Your Heart. Let's now meet the best-selling author of Life's Greatest Lessons and now The Power of Good News as we go on mic with Hal Urban. Well, the good news to begin with is that we're reunited after many, many years talking on the phone late night.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time we did it. It's been a while, but I didn't forget you or your name or your work. So I still think I get a hit from that Children's Hospital back in Boston every year.
That's right. And I am thrilled that you're still doing what you do so well, which is writing and sharing stories and thoughts and ideas and inspiration. So the new one is called The Power of Good News, Feeding Your Mind with What's Good for Your Heart. And I can't think of a book that's more timely. Boy, do we need this now, huh?
Yeah, I think the year 2020 might, and parts of 2021, have probably had more bad news than I can remember in my life. And I didn't write the book because of that. It just happened to coincide with all that bad news. I was actually writing about good news while we were surrounded by bad news.
Well, there's a great deal of research, and everything you do is well thought out, but there is scientific research that's pretty solid that says the more we attend to good news and the less we depend on the bad, the better for our psyche, our spiritual growth, and certainly our bodies. Talk a little bit about what you discovered.
Well, you know, one of the things that I mentioned near the end of the book is that I felt like I had taken graduate level courses in neuroscience while I was researching for this book, and it was really a blessing. I didn't really know very much about neuroscience. I had heard about the happy hormones like endorphins and dopamine and so on, but I really got into it. And then I got connected with Martin Seligman, who is kind of considered the father of positive psychology in the United States, and he still runs a program through the University of Pennsylvania. And so I got a lot of leads from him, and I was in contact with a couple Harvard professors that teach psychology. So it's really true that, you know, if you have good input, it's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel healthier. And there's a number of ways you can do that in addition to just receiving good news.
Let's talk about the reception of bad news. It's everywhere. It's obviously in the morning paper, but it's also on our phones. It's on television screens everywhere. I mean, it's really tough to avoid, but there are ways to do that. The impact of negative news, negative media.
Because it creates a downward cycle for your thinking process. You know, you start off the day with bad news, then you're kind of on the lookout even more. And negative stuff gets our attention much more than positive stuff does. We tend to take the positive for granted, and then the negative stuff, it grabs us. And the news media knows that. If the national and international news media felt that good news would sell more, they'd give us a lot more of it. Because the point in the book is there's way more good news than there is bad news. It just doesn't get the publicity.
I couldn't agree more. I do a little feature on the radio station WBZ every week. I do two of them. They're only 60 seconds, but I call it The Upside with Jordan, A Dose of Good News, because there is a lot more of that. Can we look for it and can we find it, Hal, besides reading your book and listening to my
show? Absolutely. You know, I give a number of suggestions in the book where you find it and to get daily doses of it. You know, that's why the subtitle of the book is Feeding Your Mind with What's Good for Your Heart. In other words, what's good for your health. And I should probably add my definition of good news. My definition of good news is anything you see, hear, read, or do that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good news. That means something good is happening inside of you. And so I mentioned in the book, I had a friend that had polio and was severely restricted in terms of what he could do in the body, but he had a fabulous attitude. And he said every morning when he woke up, two words popped in his head. One was thankfulness and the other one was opportunity. Mm. And he said, I'm thankful for what I have. I'm not going to complain for what I can't do. I'm thankful for what I do have. And I'm going to see every day in my life as an opportunity to do good. And the guy was just amazing. He couldn't lift his arms. He couldn't lift his legs. He was an absolute joy to be around. And I'll never forget that. It's one of the reasons I wrote about him in the book.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned gratitude. That's a huge part of all this. And the reflection of good news when it makes you feel good, it sort of builds up that gratitude gene in me anyway. Does it build it up in others as well like that?
Yeah, it really does. And there's a whole chapter in the book on thankfulness because I think it was one of the most valuable lessons that I ever learned. I think I told the story in the book. I was about 10 years old and I was grumbling about the kids in the neighborhood had some really cool Levi's and I had these uncool jeans called Wranglers and I was complaining about them. And my mom taught me a little lesson. Well, for one thing, I didn't complain to my dad because he would have cuffed me upside the head and said, hey, you know how hard I worked to buy you those jeans. But she showed me a picture of what life was like when she was my age on a farm in Missouri. And she showed me a picture of two boys that had the raunchiest jeans you have ever seen on. They were overalls and they had been working, I guess, out in the farm all day. And she said, these were jeans back in my day. And she said, you should be thankful that you have the ones you did. And I never forgot that message. You know, she said, the happiest people in the world aren't the people who have the most things. The happiest people are the people who are the most thankful for what they do have. Mm. And, I've never met anybody that's as thankful as I am. That stuck with me. And then it got reinforced as I went through life. And then I realized about 20 experts have written books about being thankful.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting that if you wait long enough, those Wrangler jeans that were out of fashion back then become the rage a few years later. You know, all the old clothes, don't ever throw them out, guys, because they might be hot and hip before you get too far. The idea that there's so much more good in the world than what you hear about or read about every day is true. I mean, we look at statistics about even poverty and race relations and all the things that people have legitimate concerns about. But we compare ourselves to generations past. We've come such a long way as a species. And I don't think enough people appreciate that.
No. One person wrote that bad news travels fast and good news takes the scenic route, you know, yes. And what you're just talking about, Jordan, is really progress. And progress occurs slowly, but there was a doctor in Sweden. He died recently, but he wrote a book about all the progress that's been made in recent years, and he proves that life is far better now than it was when we were kids or when our grandparents or our parents were kids and that type of thing. And we have a tendency to always say things were better when I was a kid. No, they weren't. There's proof that they weren't better when you were a kid.
Yeah, the good old days weren't necessarily all that good.
I have a heading that says that in the book. The good old days really weren't all that great.
There's a real connection that you make that is just so elemental and beautiful and universal between about friendship and sharing good news, sharing good vibes with a friend. Let me just read a quote from, and you have lots of great quotes in bubbles here and throughout, from Mona, I don't know how to say her last name, Moaney, Psychology in Action website. Whether it's with your partner, your best friend, or your family member, sharing your good news with others can bring all kinds of benefits even beyond the news itself. I couldn't agree more. When you're happy about something, and you can't wait to tell your best friend, and that friend soaks it up, man, that's great.
Yeah, and you know how all this started, which I explain in the second chapter of the book, is I was a teacher, and I taught high school kids during the day, and I taught adults in their 30s and 40s in the evening. But I was a full-time high school teacher, and I taught things like government and current world affairs and world studies. And so I thought kids should be well informed. So there was a little homework assignment every day that they highlight five major news items. And they said to me, you know, Mr. Urban, for being such a positive guy, you should give a negative homework assignment. And I said, what, me? And negative? Why? And they said, well, all the news is bad news. And I started thinking about that. And I realized, gee, that's really true. And I don't want to start class with bad news every day. So I said, well, let's start class with good news. And I said, the good news comes from you guys. Tell me what's good that's going on in your life, in your family, in the community here at school, what makes you happy. And boy, they got into it. And they shared some really personal things that were great. And the kids clapped and they became closer together. And they just couldn't wait every day to be getting a class to share good news. And I tried it with my adults. And I didn't think they'd even want to try it, but they did. They loved it. And so I got used to it, hearing a lot of good news every day.
Well, it's kind of a redefinition of what news is. We all think of news as the 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or the morning paper news. But I love what you're saying, that what happened in your life that's newsworthy to you and me. And that's redefining the whole term, which takes us out of that bleeding, leading stuff.
Yeah. You know, I still remember the first time I ever did that with a class, and a girl, she was a junior in high school, she shared something so personal, but it was so touching of everybody. She said her mom and dad had been separated for 2 years, and she had a couple siblings, and it had been a really, really hard time. And they just got back together, and she was so happy. You know, she had a few tears, and some other kids had some tears, and so it kind of opened up the gate. Say, anything that's good, boy, share it, because it makes everybody feel good.
In the neuroscience that you envelop yourself into, I know you talk about this in the book. There are ways, and they're not crazy foo-foo things, but there are ways that we can train or retrain our brains to work in a more progressive, and I mean that in a positive light. Share with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, Sean Aker, who taught at Harvard in the positive psychology department and is now doing a whole bunch of other things. He's written a bunch of books, but that he uses that phrase a lot, retrain the brain. And it's just basically developing different mental habits. You know, like, for instance, I mentioned my friend Bruce, who had polio. The first thing he did every morning when he woke up, he focused on two words, thankfulness and opportunity. And there are other people I know who make sure that they start the day in a positive way. It could be reading a scripture from some holy book. It could be the Bible or some other holy book. It could be a quotation that you're really fond of. One of the things that I do every day is that I write down three things that I'm thankful for. Mm-hmm. Before I start my day, I write down the name of a person I'm thankful for. It'll probably be you tomorrow morning, Jordan.
Thank you.
I write down the name of something that I own that I'm thankful for, that I don't want to take for granted. It could be my calculator here, or it could be my telephone. And then I write down what we call an intangible, something that I was blessed with at birth, like freedom or love and friendship and those kinds of things. And you write those down every day. You've got a pretty long list by the end of the year, and it reminds you how thankful you could be.
There used to be, I don't know if it's still around and who even uses their phone to make telephone calls, but there used to be something called joke of the day. You'd call up some toll-free number and you'd hear somebody telling a joke, whether it was a clean joke or not, I'm not sure, I don't remember. But the idea, the concept of making somebody chuckle, that's what I live for. I live to make people laugh. And I'm a horrible punster, but that's beside the point. I love the idea, though, that you mix it up a little bit in the lives of others, and you get more fun out of life that way. Instead of just being, oh, what did you do last night? I watched TV. What did you do last night? Well, I invented a new card game. Let me show you. Whatever it might be, or here's a joke. The point is, being unpredictable in my world is always a great disarmer, and it gets people off the subject. It moves them off the subject that's depressing them and hopefully brings them into something a little happier.
Yeah, way back 30 years ago when I wrote my first book, as you recall, it's called Life's Greatest Lessons.
We
and
do,
chapter
indeed.
Two is Life is Hard and Not Always Fair, but I wanted to make sure I balance things up. So chapter three is, but life is funny. Life is fun and incredibly funny. And I talked in that chapter, again, 30 years ago, about how important it is to laugh and to play around and goof off. And those things stir up the happy hormones too. And laughter really does it. Laughter is like, they stir up the same hormones as when you go work out, when you exercise.
Yeah, no, I teach voice acting with many of my students, and we talk about breath control and breathing and diaphragmatic breathing. And I tell them, hey, have yourself a belly laugh, just lose it, and you'll develop diaphragmatic breathing patterns right off the bat. It's the greatest. Pretend you're Santa Claus. But enough of that. I want to get back to national trends that show, when people are surveyed, a great sense of despondency in the future. It's not hard to understand that with all the incessant bad news about the pandemic and about the economy and about war and racism, etc. Your book has the answer. Does it start with each of us as individuals, as opposed to just trying to change the system?
I think it does. I think we have to not let the bad news overwhelm us. I think that's one of the most important things. You know, my wife and I have gotten to the point where we have a really difficult time watching news on television. I'd rather get it from the newspaper or the internet or the radio, because television bombards you with horrible, horrible images, and they have the technology to do that. So I like to get my news in a less graphic way, but I still understand what's going on.
And one of the things that makes Hal Urban so popular with students and with organizations around the world, because you speak all over, is the storytelling, the stories. And it when you're relatable, and you are so relatable to so many people, that's a great way to communicate and connect and spread the good news. You know, make it a story. Make it something about yourself or somebody else.
Right. One thing I learned in my very first year of teaching was that most people of any age will not tune in if you're lecturing them, but almost everybody will tune in if you're telling them a good story. And you can put your lesson in a story.
Yeah.
And so I did that when I was teaching government. I did it when I was teaching United States history. I told stories that were true, you know, about, like, in history, about famous people. And everybody likes a good story.
Absolutely. Well, they'll find stories in this one, The Power of Good News, but they'll also find a series of quotes. I cited one of many, and I know it's easy to say this, selecting quotes, there's so many, how could you go wrong? But they're very poignant and very pointed, these quotes. Talk a little bit with me before we leave you about the selection process.
Well, you know, I've always, from the beginning of my writing, I always thought you could make what you say have more impact if you quote somebody who's smarter than you. And so I did that with my first book. In fact, I looked back at my first book, and it has some really great quotes in it. And I realized I found those without Google. You know, this was before I had a computer when I wrote that first book. And now they're easier to find, because you can Google quote about friendship, you know, or quote about laughter or something like that. The only thing you need to do is you need to triple check them to make sure they're legitimate, because I was going to use a quote in this book that's really famous and attributed to Will Rogers. And he said, there's no such thing as a stranger. There are only friends that you've never met. There's no proof that Will Rogers ever said that. It sounds like something he might have said, but my editor wouldn't let me use it in the book. Maybe I should say I originated.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Bartlett's not around, I remember Bartlett's quotations, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was the Bible. Me too. I still have my original copy of Bartlett.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was, the quotations ended about 1921, but that's okay.
Yeah.
They were the good ones. Well,
I have always loved quotations.
Yeah.
And I think this book has 109 in it or something like that. But like I say, some of those things that people say in just a few words are so brilliant and incisive.
And sometimes people named Unknown are coming up with gems.
Yeah, I know. And I wonder, why if you came up with something so great, why would you want to be anonymous or unknown?
Well, the last point I would make is I hope that fellow members of the media are talking with you about this and are not afraid to share something that isn't bleeding and isn't deadly and is so positive. Are you getting good feedback from the book?
Well, I've had tremendous feedback. Everybody that's contacted me has said they like it, love it, whatever. But of course, if somebody didn't like it, they probably wouldn't say anything to me. But it's getting good reviews on Amazon.
Good.
And
good.
I've got, I sell it from my website because I think I mentioned to you before, I give all the money away. I give it back to education and particularly character education programs. And so I feel a little bit more free promoting it since I'm not making any money off of it. But the feedback has been absolutely terrific.
Well, and that's halurban.com, if I'm
right.
Not mistaken. Okay. And it's a great, great read. And I love the cover. It reminds me of that movie Up. Remember the movie Up for the Pixar film? Because
right.
There's a picture of the balloon and the ladder. But it's called The Power of Good News, Feeding Your Mind with What's Good for Your Heart. And you've got to check out Life's Greatest Lessons, a huge bestseller that continues to sell. And I'm so glad we connected, man. This is wonderful.
Yeah, I am too. And we get to see each other face to face. This is really nice.
It is nice. And you've got a beautiful...
You get younger as you get older, too.
Well, thank you. But I was going to say, you've got an impressive backdrop with books and ornaments and all that. And I assume it's a real library and not some phony screen you put up there.
Yeah, no, this is my man cave. I have, it's in the back of my garage. And when I bought this house, I saw this great big unfinished room in the back of the garage. And I said, I want the house. I bought it for the room in the back of the garage rather than the rest of it. But my dad, who was a builder, he put the window in, put the shelves in and everything. And over the years, it's evolved and it's a special place for me.
Well, you do some fine work from there. And I really want to thank you and wish you the best. And let's do this again sometime soon.
Yeah, Jordan, anytime. Always pleasure talking to you.
Read The Power of Good News, Feeding Your Mind with What's Good for Your Heart by Hal Urban. And find out about this fine gentleman at his website, halurban.com. There's much more good news out there than we think. Thanks, as always, to Dan Tebow of Fast Twitch Media, to Ken Carberry and the entire gang at Chart Productions in Boston, where we produce the podcast. And as always, to you, my loyal listeners, and more of you are joining us all the time. Appreciate it. Don't forget, if you like the podcast, give it a 5-star review, and that'll go a long way to spreading the good word. You can find out about my book and much more at jordanrich.com. Till next time, this is he saying be well so you can do good. Take care.